This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And he turned his hand. حتى أثرت حاشيته في عنق رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. He would take it and he would twist it until the thickness of the collar would actually affect the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام's neck. يقول يا محمد أعطني من مال الله لا من مالك ولا من مال أبيك ولا من مال أمك. Give me from the wealth of Allah, not from your own wealth, from the wealth of your father or your mother. So this gentleman, yani, brought in the su' al-adab, the poor manners of both physical and verbal. Like, he came in and he basically, yani, crashed both. He failed both attempts. Now, he was physically lacked manners, and then he also verbally lacked manners. فالتفت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. So the Prophet ﷺ turned to him. وضحك, and he smiled and laughed. ثم أمر له بعطاء, and then he gave him wealth. قال فأسلم وأسلمت قبيلته, and this person accepted Islam, and he brought his tribe to accept Islam. The hadith has a longer narration في مسند البزار, where the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, after he did this to him, he turned back and he gave him something, and the man said لا يعني لا لا ما أجزلت, you did not do well. What you've given me is not enough. قال فغضب الصحابة. The Sahaba were already upset as it was from what he did the first time, what he said the first time. And then when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام gave him something, قال ما أجزلت, this is nothing. So they got upset, but the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام saw they were upset, so he took him and he ran into the tent, into his tent عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he sealed from behind him. فقال أعطيك كذا, about this much. فقال ما أجزلت, so I'll give you this much. He kept on giving him, قال حتى, until he, جزاك الله عني جزاك الله عن عشير خيرا, يعني he made dua for him. So he told him, my sahaba, my companions outside were upset from what you said from the first time. So is it okay if you go outside and say to them what you just said to me? Like, because this will calm them down, because you were extremely inappropriate and very rude on the first few times, and they're finding in their heart something about you. فقال نعم, I'll do that. So they walked outside. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام say, أما هذا فأعطيناه فلم يرضى ثم أعطيناه فرضي. This is a person we gave that was not happy with what we gave him, and now we gave him and he's happy. فما تقول, what do you say? فقال نعم, yes, جزاك الله عني وعن عشير خيرا, may Allah grant you blessing and جزاك الله خير. ثم انطلق الرجل, and the man went on his way and took whatever the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had given him. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام will give us a gem at the end. فقال إنما مثلي ومثلكم كمثل رجل أضاع ناقة. And then he tells them, the example of me and this person and you with this person is like a person who lost, a man who lost his camel. والناس يعني يريدون أن يأتوا له بناقته فكلما دنوا منها هربت. And people want to help him bring the camel back to him, and every time they go after it, it flees farther and farther away. They repel it. They repel it, so it keeps on going farther away. وَيَقُولُ لَهُمْ دَعُونِي وَنَاقَتِي. He's telling them, leave me and my camel, I'll take care of it. Just leave the camel. قَالَ فَتَرَكُوهَا, and they finally left it. قَالَ فَأَخْرَجَ مِنْ خُشَاشِ الْأَرْضِ شَيْئًا فَهَزَّ يَدَهُ فَأَتَتْ. So the man who owns the camel, he looked for some grass and he picked it up from the ground and he moved his hand a few times and they came, and the camel came running to take whatever he had in his hand. قَالَ وَلَوْ أَطَعْتُكُمْ فِيهِ لَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. And had I allowed you to do what you wanted to do to him, he would have been from Ahl al-Nar. If I had allowed you to do what you wanted to do to him, but he deserved someone who comes out and does that to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, someone who does that to anybody deserves to be punished. If I let you, then this person would have entered Jahannam. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's patience would save the man. The hadith muttafaq alayhi in both Bukhari and Muslim, a man walking to the masjid when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is giving a dars, and he's speaking to people, and he would go and he would stand just over there and he would pull his trousers down and he would pee right in the middle of the masjid. And the Sahaba would get extremely upset and he'd get up to go to him, and the Prophet ﷺ would tell them, leave him. لا تزرموا عليه بولته. Don't ruin his what he's doing. Let him finish. When he finished, the Prophet ﷺ went to him. فقال يا أخي إنما جعل المسجد لغير هذا. And the masjid was made for something different. And the person who's telling us the hadith is the Arabi. And the narrator uses the following phrase. فَقَالَ فَلَمَّا فَقُهَ الْعَرَابِ. When this Bedouin learned, يَقُولُ بِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي صلى الله عليه صحبه وسلم أَتَى إِلَيَّ فَلَمْ يُعَنِّفْ وَلَمْ يُؤَنِّبْ وَلَمْ يَشْتُمْ وَلَمْ يَضْرِبْ. He came to me, he didn't blame me, he didn't yell at me, he didn't hit me, he didn't chastise me for what I did. وإنما قال لي, all he told me was this is not what this is for. يعني هريق عليه دلوا مما, get a bucket of water and just clean it up because it's نجاسة. صلى الله عليه صحبه وسلم. There's a يروي أبو نعيم في الحلية والحاكم وفي المستدرك بسند حسن عن عبد الله بن سلام, the known حبر يهودي. He tells us that one of the أحبار اليهود, one of the other scholars of يهود, زيد بن سعنة, this gentleman wanted to test the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He wanted to see what he was made of. The يهود have a description of who the Prophet that was going to come after Musa عليه السلام was going to look like, because Isa عليه السلام is the Messiah, and there's a different description altogether. So they had a description, and they would follow him عليه الصلاة والسلام and pick up the descriptions, the different aspects of him, يعني of his physical appearance, the خاتم النبوة, he doesn't eat صدقة, he eats هدية, these things. But there was one thing that Zayd ibn Sa'na had found in his book that he wasn't able to assess, so he wanted to make a scenario to assess it. So he would come to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he would offer him a loan, because he was wealthy, and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was trying to prepare for a battle of some sort, so he offered him a loan. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was very happy with that, because he needed it, so he accepted the loan, and there were witnesses, and it was agreed to for a full year. The next day, Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is giving a talk, so Zayd ibn Sa'na would come and walk, stand right at the end of the masjid, and he would say, أعطني مالي يا أبا القاسم, give me my money. صلى الله عليه وسلم, I want my money. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنما كان سنة, it was a year. فقال إنكم معشر مطل يا بني عبد المطلب, you're a group of people who don't pay on time. You don't care of your loans. The family of Abdul Muttalib. Now he's going a little bit more, يعني deeper than just him. He's going after his family. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إنما كان يعني شهد الشهود على العام. There are people who are witnesses. It's a year. So he goes worse. He goes a little bit deeper. He starts to cut deeper, and he starts to raise his voice upon the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in the masjid. حتى غضب عمر ودارت عينه, and then until Umar got upset, and you can see in his eyes he's starting to think crazy. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, so he gets up. قال يا رسول الله دعني أضرب عنق هذا المنافق, give me the permission, let his head fly, this منافق. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال يا عمر هلا أمرته بحسن الطلب وأمرتني بحسن السداد. Wouldn't it be better if you commanded me to pay back my loan on time and commanded him to ask for it in a nicer way? اجلس يا عمر, sit, يا عمر, so عمر رضي الله عنه, sit, sat. And the man continued to poke at the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Give me my money. You're late that you owe me this. He kept on يعني provoking the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام continued يعني to absorb him into. حتى قال الرجل, until Zayd ibn Sa'na, who was doing this, said in the middle of it, just in the middle of provoking the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأنك عبده ورسوله. So the Sahaba are standing there looking. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قال ما تصنع, what are you doing? فقال إنما وجدنا في كتابنا أن نبي آخر الزمان كلما أغضب كلما ازداد حلما. That the Prophet at the end of times, the more you provoke him, the more patient he becomes. The worse you treat him, the better he will treat you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَا رَأَيْتُهَا, and I didn't see it because I wasn't around. فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنَا رَاهَا, I need to see it. فَفَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ, and I did all this. وَإِنَّمَا يعني وَإِنَّمَا مَا أَعْطَيْتُكَ صَدَقَةٌ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, what I gave you the money is صدقة for the Muslimin. رضي الله عنه وارضاه. صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Seer, they narrate that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was sent one of the Jawari, one of the young sisters who in his house for an errand. And she would go, and she would forget what she was supposed to do, and she would go play in the alleys for a while. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would get very, very worried, so he'd leave the house, and he'd be running around into the to see where she got lost. And finally, he finds her playing completely, as children are, oblivious of what she was told to do in the first place. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would pull his miswak. وقال والله لولا خشية الله يعني لضربتك بهذا المسواك. If it wasn't for the fearfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would have tapped you with this miswak. But he didn't, صلى الله عليه وسلم. تقول عائشة ما ضرب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شيئا قط بيده. هذا حديث عند إمام أحمد. لا خادما ولا امرأة إلا أن يجاهد في سبيل الله. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام never raised his hand and hit anyone with his ever. Not a man, not a woman, not a child, never. Aside from jihad fi sabilillah, صلى الله عليه وسلم. He never ever put his hand up and laid it on someone else. On the way back from one of his غزوات عليه الصلاة والسلام, the hadith is in collection of Bukhari, narrated to us by Jabir. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would stop, the army would stop, and they would go and lie down. They always did this. This was a common practice during Dhuhr time when it was noon. And the sun was in the middle of the sky. It was extremely hot and it was dangerous to continue moving. You would find a spot where there's some shade and you would wait for the sun to kind of move a bit and then you'd continue your journey. The Prophet alayhi wasallam did this all the time and it was at the time of the day, so he would go and find a spot to camp. The Sahaba did all of that. Everyone found a little spot with shade. The Prophet alayhi wasallam found a small tree. He took off, obviously, his imamah, his bush, he put his camel, and he took off his sword and he hung it on the tree. And there were supposed to be two or three people who were going to stand guard. It was completely empty. They were coming back from a battle that didn't even occur. Everyone's guard was pretty much down. No one was scared of anything. So the two people on guard fell asleep, as they shouldn't have, but they did. A man by the name of Ghawrath ibn al-Harith would come. He was following the army and he was waiting for those for an opportunity. The Muslims fell asleep, so he came and he was looking for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He found him sleeping under a tree. He would go and he would take the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's sword, he'd pull it from its cover, and then he would wake the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam up. So the Prophet would wake up and he would put the sword right under his neck. And he would say, Ya Muhammad, man yamna'uka minni? Who can protect you from me? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is the hadith, by the way, and this is the wording of the hadith in Bukhari and the other collections that tell this story in a little bit more depth. Yes, other narrations go into more depth, but all of them quote the exact same thing. When he asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام this question, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام answered, فقال الله. It was one word. قال الله. تقول فسقط الرجل. And the man who was carrying the sword, and he tripped and fell back and was on the ground, and the sword fell from his hand. The Prophet ﷺ picks up the sword and he gets him up and he puts the things are the opposite. قَالُ وَأَنْتَ مَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي? And how about you? Who's going to protect you from me? فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا جَعَرَفْنَاكَ كَذَا وَأَنْتَ حَلِيمٌ. And then he starts to beg the Prophet ﷺ, you've always been someone who's patient and generous and this and this. فأيقظ الناس عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام woke people up, so they all woke up and they came, seeing this situation. فقال أخبرهم بما حصل. Tell them what happened. So the man would tell them, I woke him up, I had the sword, I put it under his neck, I asked him the question. He said, Allah. I fell back. He picked it up. He put it under my hand. Now I'm sitting here. فقال نبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, قل لا إله إلا الله. Say لا إله إلا الله. قال لا. He said no. I won't say it. فغضب الناس. And then people got more upset. You say it even if you don't, just say it. The guy has a sword. فقال إذا تكون ولينا, you'll be our ally. فقال لا. He said no. At what point do you just خلاص, this person deserve. فقال إذا لا تحرض علينا, you don't help people to fight us. فقال هذه فنعم. As for this, فإنك رجل ممنوع. You're someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting, obviously, so there's no point of fighting you anymore. And that's what he was able to take away from this encounter, alayhi salatu wasalam. The reason I'm telling you these stories, he could have easily at any point after asking the first question or second question, off with his head. He obviously has very little adab, this human being. But the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, would look for whatever you could take from something. What is it that you can take from a situation that is khayr? He would take it, alayhi salatu wasalam. During one of the, after one of the battles when he was giving away wealth, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he never took anything home. Just keep that as a back. He would never make it home with anything from any of the battles that he witnessed, alayhi salatu wasalam. Always give things away. A man, this hadith muttafaq alayhi, in both Bukhari and Muslim, a man would come to him, his name is Dhul Khuwaisirah. And he would tell him, اعدل يا محمد فإن هذه قسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet ﷺ is giving wealth away to all, and the man would come and tell him, be fair. This is not a division of wealth that that the person who's doing it cares for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. فيقول عليه الصلاة والسلام من يعدل إذا لم أعدل. If I'm not being fair, then who's going to be fair? And he's standing there, صلى الله عليه وسلم. You can almost imagine the hadith towards the end of his rope. What do you mean? If I'm not doing the adil, then who is going to adil? And then, يعني, as he was getting frustrated, this is what he would say to himself, عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال لقد أوذي أخي موسى بأكثر من هذا فصبر. Musa, my brother, was offended and mistreated more than this, and he showed perseverance. And the, Musa was not hurt more than the Prophet ﷺ in his life. But the Prophet ﷺ would use whatever he could to produce whatever patience he could ﷺ in any given situation when there was a lack of adab in a given setting ﷺ. I'll end with this last story, then I'll let you go, inshallah ta'ala. Because this, to me, is the pinnacle of his patience, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, patience is different than perseverance. Perseverance is the continuation. We'll talk about it in a different setting. But patience is just the ability to be triggered and control it. Just don't let it get to you. Don't allow it. Don't allow people's bad behavior make you behave badly. This is the moral of these stories. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam didn't allow the Arabi who peed in the masjid, pulled on his hashia, accused him of zulm, tried to kill him in his sleep. He didn't let that type of behavior make him change the way he would behave, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what hilm is. Hilm is the ability to continue to be you, regardless of who you're facing. Because who you are should be something that is not relevant or associated with the person in front of you. If you understand what I'm saying, it shouldn't have anything to do with it. Who you are is who you are. Who the other person is not irrelevant. This is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. If that matters, that means you're not really someone. Right? You understand what I'm saying? If you change based on, if your ethics and morals and the way you behave changes based on the person in front of you, then what exactly are we? Like, what am I? If I'm just going to be, or if I'm going to, every time you change, I change. If you speak or treat me badly, then I'll become bad. That means I don't really have an essence. I'm just a reflection of whatever you're doing. And that doesn't mean anything. That's meaningless. There's nothing there. The Prophet ﷺ was Halim. He was someone who was very patient. This is who he was. It didn't make a difference in terms of who he was dealing with, ﷺ. That was going to be the characteristic that you're going to find when you dealt with him, ﷺ. I think that's very important to learn. And when we go through his attributes, ﷺ, the different types of attributes and examples of his life, it's important to keep that in mind because that was the hallmark of his character, ﷺ. On the way back from Al-Ta'if, when he went, alayhi salatu wasalam, to Al-Ta'if, it was a huge gamble because if Quraysh finds out, he can't go back into there's going to be difficulty going back to Mecca because Thaqif and Hawazin and Quraysh have always had a little bit of rivalry throughout the years. And there are a few wars that occurred. So they don't really get along. So for the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, to go to Ta'if, to Thaqif and Hawazin, ask for some form of help or aid, it can be frowned, will be frowned upon by the people of Quraysh. So he it was a big gamble. He goes, alayhi salatu wasalam, he speaks to them, they respond to him in probably the worst three responses things he ever heard, alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout his life. And one of them would say, يعني أما وجد الله خيرا منك ليرسله. Did Allah not find anyone better to make his message? Sallallahu alayhi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wasallam. But that's what he told him. You know, he couldn't find anyone better than you. والله لو رأيتك متعلقا بأستار الكعبة تقسم أنك صادق ما صدقتك. If you were holding on to the guy, swearing that you're honest, I would not believe. They were just horrible, horrible responses. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would say, okay, at least let me go. يعني just don't send anything back to Quraysh. Keep this between us. They said, we already sent the horseman back to Quraysh to let them know. So he said, okay, let me leave. He said, no, not until we stone you on your way out. He was stoned on his way out, alayhi salatu wasalam, until he left, obviously, Ta'if, and he was bleeding from his feet and his head, as Zayd ibn Haritha was as well. He was denied access back into Mecca. He wasn't allowed to enter. He had to wait until someone offered him protection so he could enter Mecca again. This is one of the worst situations possible. During that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send Jibreel, the hadith in the Sahihain, with the angel of the mountains. He would ask them the question, Ya Muhammad Murni, Utbiq alayhim al-akhshabain. Tell me, and I will crumble the two mountains upon their heads. Both Ta'if and Mecca. Just give me the word and I'll kill all of them. And then you don't have to deal with this anymore. And the believers will continue to be with you and you can build your ummah. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لَا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يُخْرِجَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No, maybe, hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will produce from the descendants of these people those who will say, La ilaha illallah. And I say that, and here we are. And because of his patience, here we are, alayhi salatu wasalam. It is because of his patience that you and I are here. Meaning when he said those words, what he hoped for actually occurred. What he hoped for occurred. You may not realize it, but if it wasn't for the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was patient and allowed these people to grow, these people who later on, once they accepted Islam, are the reason that Islam spread all through the land, and then you and I came along to become Muslim from the different parts of the world that we came from. Had he not shown patience, ﷺ, at the moment, at his lowest moment, because he was asked later on in life, what was your worst moment? He said that one. He was at, and he specified Qarn al-Thalib. Qarn al-Thalib is a valley where this encounter occurred between Malak al-Jibal and Jibreel and himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. That this was my worst moment. And they asked him, what's worse than Uhud? He said, Uhud, what was worse after Uhud? He said, Uhud wasn't the worst. The worst was this moment here, when I had nowhere to go. When I couldn't enter Mecca, I had just been completely humiliated by Ahl al-Ta'if. And at his worst moment, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was offered a way out, and he didn't take it, alayhi salatu wasalam, out of patience. I said, Allahu an yukhrija min aslabihim. من يقول لا إله إلا الله فإنا نقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله هذا هو حبيبكم صلوا عليه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.